So let's start. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC monthly December conference call on Thursday, the 20th of December, 2012. The time is 16:02 UTC, and we have a medium-sized agenda, but we've
joined
2 hours, which are devoted to this call. And so the first thing I'll ask is for the adoption of the agenda. Does anybody wish to add anything or take anything, add anything in addition to what's there? I see Tijani.
Yes, Olivier. I would like to add in the, any other business or elsewhere if you want, the issue of the travel support for African leaders.
Issue of travel support for ICANN meetings, if I hear you correctly. You came out a little bit faint.
Exactly.
Okay. So the issue of travel support for ICANN meetings, that will be in the any other business. Then I see Garth having put his hand up. Garth, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry to do this at the beginning of the call, but I have to drop off for another meeting at noon. I got kind of a troubling message from a registrar who is seeing what he calls some unethical practices within the industry, and he came to me because he wanted to actually talk to ICANN in person, and he's in Australia, and he went to the Sydney office, and he tells me that the Sydney office is closed. Can anybody confirm that this is true?
Okay, well, thank you, Garth. But the only thing that we're doing at the moment, though, is adopting the agenda. It's a very fair question. is it possible to take this off the call afterwards if you're not able to stay until any other business, or can we treat it in any other business?
That's fine. I mean, I just want to make sure it gets in there. Just as I said, I have to leave for another meeting at 12, and I didn't want to miss the opportunity. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for putting this. We'll put it in the any other business, and if you are not on the call by that time, we do have the question here. Heidi, I gather you've taken note of this.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I guess that you probably have the time to find the answer by the time we reach this point. Tijani, your hand is still up.
Sorry, no.
Okay. Right, well, so we've adopted the agenda, and let's go on now with the roll call, please. Julia?
Silvia Vivanco.
Left.
Yes, this is Julia. Thank you, Olivier. I will proceed with the roll call. On today's ALEC monthly call, we have on the English channel, Rinalia Abdul-Rahim, Yao Viatorun, Garth Bruin, Tijani Benjima, Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Eduardo Diaz, Alan Greenberg, Maureen Hilliard, Sandra Overrichter, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Ivan Lipovich, Oksana Priodoko, Holly Reich, Carlton Samuels, Ron Sherwood, Dev Ananti Lusking. On the Spanish channel, we have Natalia Enciso, Fatima Cambonero, and Juan Manuel Rojas. We have nobody so far on the French channel. We have apologies noted for José Arce and Sintra Suknanan. And from staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Silvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, and myself, Julia Chavolin. Our interpreters today are on the Spanish channel, Veronica and David, and on the French channel, Claire and Fernanda. May I also please remind everyone to state their names not only for transcript purposes, but also for the interpreters to identify the speakers on the other language channel, and please speak at a reasonable pace to allow for an accurate interpretation. Thank you, and over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Julia. And this is Olivier for the transcript and for the interpreters. Just a question, have we missed anyone? If we have missed anyone, please say so now. You have not said your name. I don't hear anyone shouting out. So let's proceed forward with the first go. And the first part in our agenda is the review of the action items from the ALAC meetings in Toronto. And you will notice if you open the page that there are some very fancy little tick marks now on the side of the action items, so we can see which ones are completed and which ones are not completed. We'll have to go through this list. I'm happy to note that quite a few action items are completed now. We will just go through those which are still in progress, and I'll leave you the chance of looking at those that are completed in your own time. So first, the ALAC and Regional Leaders Workshop. Sylvia Pavenko is to follow up on the Indian at-large structures liaising through staff so as to better associate themselves with a multi-stakeholder process within ICANN. Any update on this, Sylvia? And we can't quite hear you at the moment, Sylvia. I did hear that you had left. I'm not quite sure whether you are on the call or not.
Olivia, this is Heidi. I believe she has followed up with that. Let me just see if I can get her on Skype for that.
Okay. Well, there are a number of, there's another one after that. Well, let's move on to the next action item, which does not involve her, and that's Matt Ashtiani to work with Bart and update the mapping of CCTLD operators. Matt?
Hi, Olivia. This is Matt for the record. That's still in progress.
Okay, thank you. Are you planning to get in touch with Bart soon, or is this all channeling? Because I do note that Sylvia has been in touch with Bart, so perhaps would this be channeled through Sylvia?
I think it would still go through me, but after the break, then I'll follow up with Bart.
Okay, thank you. Next, the ADAC is to ask for a meeting with the Board Finance Committee. The timing is to be discussed. That's still in progress. There is going to be a small call with Tijani and I and speak with the with Xavier Calvez, who is the Chief Financial Officer, and we will be discussing the process forward to start filing for our large at-large summit number two. As you know, this is quite a large endeavor, and we thought it would be a good idea for us to find out how this would be arranged and how this could be filed. So we will report back to you when this has happened. Then the At-Large Future Challenges Working Group Public Workshop, well, all of this was completed. The Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Working Group meeting, well, that's a Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Working Group thing, so it's not an ALAC thing per se. I should just ask that there should be a follow-up on this. Jean-Jacques, you've put your hand up. Go ahead, you have the floor. And I'm afraid at the moment we can't hear you.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello. Can you hear me? Yes. Hello.
Yeah. Yes. We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Please, for trying. Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. First, sorry for being late. Second, just in case Evan did not mention that yet, today we had the R3 paper webinar, and Heidi said that it was quite successful with a large number of attendees. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. I think we may have a little follow-up on this later on, looking at the work, just looking at this. Perhaps not. But, well, thank you for advising us of this now. Let's see. The At-Large IDN Working Group, that's another working group. Then the At-Large Capacity Building Next Steps. There was one outstanding piece of work there, which was Matt Ashtiani and Heidi Ulrich to develop a human resources matrix. Is this on its way, Matt or Heidi?
This is Heidi. Olivier, that's still in progress.
Okay.
I think maybe early in the next year we can get to that.
And then finally, at the bottom of the screen, the ALAC and regional leadership wrap up one meeting. Everything was completed there. So I'm glad to say the majority of the action items from Toronto were completed, which is great news. Does anyone have any comments, or should we just move on to the next part of our agenda? The floor is open for comments on the action items. Oh, I don't see anyone jumping for joy or jumping for the mic, alternatively. So let's then move on. We can go directly into agenda item number four, my apologies, with the review of current at-large structure applications. And as you can see, there have been a couple that have been recently accredited and a large number of applications going on at the moment, which is absolutely excellent news. I will hand the floor over to Matt to take us through these.
Hi, this is Matt Ashani for the record. We have two new ALSs, application 171, Connect New York NYC, application 172, the Nova Scotia Community Access Program. We have a few open applications right now. Number 158, the Uruguay Association of Notary Public. This AI is to begin voting on this application on Friday. This is also with number 159, the National Association for Digital Inclusion. Application 166, ATP DIT. We are awaiting
Matt, this is Heidi. Olivia, may I update what it says on the agenda for that, please?
Yes, please, Heidi. Please go ahead, because I note that some of these appear to be in the wrong box at the moment.
Just a few. Well, just this one, I think, actually. This one, we've just now received the official regional advice from Fatimata, and the regional advice for that particular application is to ask the organization to withdraw their application until they have further developed. So that's where that status is.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you. Back to you, Matt.
Thank you.
Number 167, Race Services from Afrelo. I believe the regional, the due diligence is in progress.
Matt, can you adjust your headset, please?
Yeah, is this better?
That's more like it. Yes, you sounded as though you were about to drown in a moment.
Okay, well, I'll speak up. Number 167, Race Services, the due diligence on this ALS application is still in progress. Number 170, the University Community Partnership for Social Action Research, the ALAC, is to begin voting on this shortly. This will also start on Friday. Number 173, the Internet Society Philippine Chapter. We are just awaiting the regional advice from Afrelo, and if we can receive it before the new year, it will also start hopefully tomorrow. Number 174, the Armenian Association for the Disabled. The due diligence for this ALS application is in progress. Number 175, .HIV. We are awaiting the regional advice from Urela, which is expected shortly. Number 176, the University of Library Studies and Information Technologies. We are just waiting for the regional advice from Urela. And number 177, the Swiss Privacy Foundation. And the due diligence on this application is being conducted.
Thank you very much, Matt. And there are a couple of things I'd like to say about the number of applications we have. The first one being that it's really great to see that there is much interest in organizations joining the at-large community and bringing their voice to the multi-stakeholder input that we have at ICANN. But I also recognize very much that many of these applications are the result of people from already established at-large structures, people in our community going out there and reaching out to those people that they meet in meetings and the IGF and in other local meetings that they go to. And I think it's really important to recognize this, because without all of this work that goes on behind the scenes, it would be very, very hard for these organizations currently applying to know about at large and to know about our community. So I really want to thank everyone who has been part of helping out for that, the work behind the scenes that I think often doesn't get mentioned, but really has to be recognized. Any questions or comments on any of the applications or relating to any of the applications? I hear no one. I just wanted to point you to one thing. Application number 158, Asociación de Escribanos del Uruguay, and number 159, National Association for Digital Inclusion. These two had already started being voted on, and a few months ago I stopped the vote from taking place due to the fact that there was somehow some misunderstanding as to why what the advice from Lacrallo was with regards to these applications. I understand that Lacrallo has been working and discussing these applications quite extensively now, and so there has been new advice being provided by Lacrallo. I wonder if I could give, I'm not sure if Jose Arce is with us or if Sylvia is with us to provide us with quick detail. I see neither of them on the call at the moment. And we don't have either of them. Okay. Fair enough. So they're not present. Never mind. It was just to give them a chance to explain the reasons why Lacrallo provided the advice that they provided. Just enough to say that I am absolutely convinced that the advice that was provided by Lacrallo is very much in line with the reality on the ground. So I really would say that I'll support totally the advice that Lacrallo provided with regards to these two applications. And without spending any more time on at-large structures organizations currently undergoing the accreditation process, let's move over to the reports. And I am aware that our GNSO liaison is currently in the GNSO and working for us in a very, very long GNSO call. But what I will ask is perhaps to have the report from Cheryl Langdonor, our CCNSO liaison, if you can spend a couple of minutes telling us what's been happening in the CCNSO, please.
Certainly. Cheryl Langdonor for Transcript Record. The December meeting for the CCNSO has been held. It was very much a process one with a number of internal matters of deciding who's going to be doing what sort of reports on various things being allocated out. It's a time of year when many of the CCTLD operators, of course, are also looking to their annual wind-up, but I've noticed the forward planning, the CCTLD draft agenda for the Beijing meeting is now out. And I think that's got to be a record for advanced planning. I just thought that was well above and beyond the call of duty to have the meeting for Beijing's agenda already organised, which is kind of amazing. Jean-Jacques, I'm talking to a headset microphone and it's right in front of my mouth, so I can in fact start projecting, and I'm sure my husband will appreciate knowing even more about the CCNSO community. What I would suggest with this situation in terms of volume is that I don't try and give you too great a detail, and I draw as I often do, your attention to the updates that happen on the CCNSO liaison's website. There hasn't been any new CCTLD membership applications come in since the November meeting, and of course that's one of the things that Matt would be keen to follow as we track the countries where CCTLD operators are joining the ICANN plan, as well as the matching it up to where we have at-large structures and where we have opportunities to perhaps find new at-large structures via those CCTLD operators in the local internet community. And Matt, with that work in the future with BART, and while you're talking to him, do mention that I'm more than happy to give you some assistance on that. Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Chef. And I ask if there are any questions for you.
¿Hay alguna pregunta que alguien quiera realizar?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear this just now.
We had, it's just the Spanish channel coming in. Yeah,
it sounds like we're having the Spanish channel now piped into the English channel. That's great. Okay, it stopped being piped to the English channel. Fantastic. Any questions from anyone to Cheryl? No questions? Okay. And just to quickly whisk through the GNSO liaison update, as you know, Alan is on the call. There is going to be, he has already put up a page on the wiki, which provides full details of the different motions. So there's a motion on second level protection for International Olympic Committee and Red Cross, Red Crescent names. There is a motion on consumer trust, the consumer trust working group, and you've seen some discussion already go on some of our lists about this. There's discussion about the suspension of the policy development process and the proposed revision to the GNSO PDP manual. There is an update on the trademark clearinghouse strawman proposal, and you will have also noticed on our email list some movement on that. There is a response to a GAC letter, ATRT2 developments, WHOIS board resolution, and GNS Council review and Structural Improvements Committee update. What I would suggest is when Alan comes back to our call, when he's finally finished with his marathon GNSO call, we can ask him for a quick update on what's been happening simultaneously, at the same time as this call. Unfortunately, our SAC liaison is also unable to make it today to the call. What we have is her report, her December 2012 report, which I invite you to have a look at. Not very much activity in ISAC. Various working groups and so on are all reaching this time of the year, which is all very much a festive season. So our liaison attended one meeting on the 13th of December. There was also a conference call on the 19th of December regarding identifier abuse metrics work party. And I'm just reading from the page at the moment. Some of you might know the DSSA, DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group, is in hibernation until just before the ICANN meeting in Beijing, and that's due to the fact that the board DNS, the board risk committee is currently also working on a very similar project to the DSSA, taking into account some of the input from the DSSA. And finally, the SAC report is still being finalized for public release, and so we'll soon see that, and I'm sure that Julie Hammer, our SAC liaison, will be able to tell us about this either in writing or in our next ALAC call. We are somehow running out of time on the NCSG liaison report, IDN liaison report, and the unknown .mobi liaison report, which doesn't exist anymore, really. Evan, do you have just a couple of words on the NCSG liaison?
Absolutely, and thank you, Olivier. This is Evan for the record. I just want to note that there has been significant collaboration between ALAC and the NCSG on the issue of the trademark clearinghouse and the processes that are bringing it about. Also, it appears that there's going to be a change in the NCSG liaison to ALAC, and I believe that from what I've been reading on the so far, it appears that Rudy Van Snick, who is familiar to ALAC, I believe is so far unopposed for this position. I have a good chemistry with Rudy. I'm looking forward to working with him going forward, and I'm just very happy to report that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And in fact, I saw Rudy yesterday, or was it? No, the day before yesterday, I met with him in Frankfurt, and we had a good discussion about this. He's really looking forward to take on the position. So I think we'll have a very good relationship with the NCSG and look forward to this. Good information gathering and exchange on this. Now, we also have reports, of course, from all of the RALOs, and I thank all of the RALOs for having filed their report. I'm not quite sure. Some regions are a little more up-to-date than others. Please, if you are behind, please go and file your report. As I say each time, every month, this is really the first way that at-large structures, and especially those new at-large structures coming into ICANN, coming into ALAC, these new at-large structures find out what is going on in their region and what is going on in at-large. Any questions or comments on any of the reports? Evan?
Thanks, Olivier. Although he's probably a little bit too shy to boast about it, I wanted to give explicit acknowledgement to the work that Garth has been doing. He has elevated some of our issues with contractual compliance and trying to get to the bottom of some of the things that would make ICANN safer for use. He's been extremely diligent at this, and I just wanted to acknowledge that here. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And yes, a round of applause for Garth. It's been really, really great working with him. And I'm very happy that there's been a follow-up since the Naralo event that took place in Toronto. And it's one less thing that I have to worry about, as one does. So... let's move on, and we will now look. Oh, I see here there is a. Even if I mess up call timing, yes, Garth. Well, that's one point that you're losing, but you have such a huge capital of points at the moment that you don't risk being brought into the red danger zone, if there is such a thing. Agenda item number 6, the policy advice development page. There are a number of recently approved ALAC statements and documents, etc. There was one on the ICANN Consolidated Meeting Strategy Proposal, and the ALAC adopted it on the 24th of November 2012. There was an ALAC statement on the IDN variant TLD program, the procedure to develop and maintain the label generation rules for the root zone in respect of IDNA labels. And I'm slowing down because I gather that the interpreters must have such a fun time when I read through those. The ALAC statement on the expired registration recovery policy, and the ALAC statement on the IDN variant top-level domain program, the interim report examining the user experience implications of active variant TLDs. I have to thank all of the people who have held the pen on those statements and also all the people who have commented on those statements. It's a vital part of our work to respond to public comments and to draft statements even outside public comment. And without having someone holding the pen, we wouldn't be able to publish those. It's really, really important. I note there is a lot of work that is going on in the IVN variant TLD program, and I wanted to specifically point out the excellent work of our IDN liaison, Edmund Chung, but also of Rinalia Abdul-Rahim, who has provided a lot of work in this program as well, and is currently enjoying some wonderful holidays, and I think she absolutely deserves them. So a round of applause for both Edmund and Rinalia. And this really is a festive call because we actually have a huge number of other statements underneath that, statements currently being developed, reviewed, or voted on by the ALAC. But before going through them, actually, does anyone have any question or comment on our statements that have been filed? I see Tijani. Oh, no. I don't see Tijani. Okay.
It was a mistake.
Okay. Well, if you clap your hands and then put them up, it could be foretaken for Macarena, but we haven't reached the point of the call yet to dance because it's our last call of the year. So let's move on. The statement's currently being developed, reviewed, or voted on by the ALAC. And the first one is the ALAC démarche to ICANN. And here it says the ALAC is to vote on this during this meeting. I invite you all to go onto that call, sorry, onto that page. There was a first draft which was submitted. This actually started up in Uralo, and so this is actually a letter which is to be sent over to Fadi Shehade, the CEO of ICANN, signed by myself, but I do have to provide the credit for drafting the first draft to Yirio Lansipuro from Uralo. This is a case of a region raising a point and then passing it and widening it to the other railos, and there was a lot of support for having this letter drafted. I invite you all to read through this letter because hopefully we can can actually vote on it right here, there and then, with a consensus call. I'm not quite sure if I have to read through the whole thing. It's just taking time. Tijani, you have your hand up, so let's start taking questions, and that will let everyone else read through the letter in the meantime. Go ahead, Tijani.
Yes, Olivier. Did you... I noticed that the compilation of the comments has not been done inside the original text. If this was done, we can perhaps vote on it today. But today we have the first draft, we have the other comments. How will we vote on something which is not compiled?
No, the compilation has been done, Tijani. Your comment has been taken into account by Rinalia, I think, or who was it that edited this? Someone edited this. Yeah, that's right. So Rinalia had drafted an improved version, and then your comments were taken into account by Rinalia's, as far as I can see here.
Yes, not all of them, yes.
And then there was some. There was a comment from Evan and one from Yaovi. And when I drafted the final draft version to be voted upon by the ALAC, I've added Tijani's notes in there, which replaced NOMCOM with ICANN ACSO staff. So there are small amendments which were made to the letter. Evan?
Thanks, Olivier. This is Evan. I'll simply restate the same thing that I stated on the actual page, and it's more a matter of procedure than it is of the content. I agree with the content of the letter. My issue is that in its current form, it should be sent in the form of a letter from Olivier to Fadi as opposed to officially endorsed ALAC advice. Because there is not a lot of advice on what should be done to eliminate this, and given the fact that it doesn't reference existing ICANN moves to try and address this, I really think that it's overblown if we pass this as advice. There is an issue of ALAC passing too much to the board as advice, and I think this is one of those things that is best expressed as a letter from the chair of the ALAC to the CEO of ICANN to be dealt with by senior staff. And I think we need to take a proactive role in the meeting strategy going on, understanding that the existing work of the consolidated meeting strategy, while it has many flaws, at least it has the intent of trying to maximize accessibility of the meetings. So I think we have a role to play in that. As far as this particular letter, I believe it's relevant. I believe it's important, but I don't believe it constitutes advice. I would prefer to see it endorsed by consensus as something Olivier should send to Fadi, but I do not believe that it should take the form of an officially endorsed piece of advice. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Next is Yaobi.
Speaking. I'm also in the same direction like Evan said, but anyway, there are some suggestions in this document. So it is my point is a format issue. So we are supporting my comprehension is that we are supporting the chair of to send this letter instead of sending another session because we already voted on a statement relating meetings. So we support, we are putting to support the chair of ALAC to send this letter, and at the same time, I will just follow up regarding the next step for this consolidated meeting proposal. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Yaropi. And next is Carlton.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Carlton Samuels for the record. I want to add to what Yaropi Evan has said. I earlier on fully support the letter. I still do. I just think that we should marketing it a little bit differently. I think we should not send it as a formal advice, but send it as a letter from chair. And I added one other issue there, which I think most people haven't picked up on. The board Public Participation Committee of the board is chaired by Sebastian Bachelet, and he has been involved in the discussion. And we would not wish to, if we send it as formal advice, it seems to me that we might be actually undermining the role that our own member is playing in this issue. So I would respectfully suggest that while we send the contents to the board, we not send it as a formal ALAC advice, but to the board chairman from the chair of ALAC, copied to the chair Public Participation Committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Carlton. Next is Jean-Jacques Subrena. Jean-Jacques, we can't hear you at the moment. You might be muted. Still cannot hear anything.
Sorry, Olivia, this is Heidi. He's not on audio.
Oh, can you hear? Can you hear me now?
Ah, now we can hear you, Jean-Jacques. Yes, welcome back.
Yes, sorry, the microphone was muted. This is Jean-Jacques. 3 points. The first is to agree with Evan. I think a letter is sufficient and actually perhaps more efficient. It's less formal and it's person to person, from chair to chair. By the way, we have a history of previous successes within ALAC of such letters from chair to chair. The second point is I was a bit puzzled by what Yaouvi was suggesting about we supporting the ALAC chair. Of course, I don't think that any chair in his or her good mind would take the initiative of sending a letter or an advice or anything without the full consent of the ALAC, of course. So I think that is superfluous. My third point is about the content. I very much agree with the draft prepared by UDIE, and I think it's very well done. May I just suggest an addition at the end, which would be to suggest that on this issue, the PPC, the Public Participation Committee, consult the ALAC. I say this because you must remember that although Sébastien has all the credentials of an at-large history, as soon as he became a member of the board, he was no longer a representative of the ALAC or of any other part of the ICANN world. He was only a member of the board. So I think this would make things more clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. And by the sentence, do you just mean that you wish that the PPC should consult the ALAC on this matter? Or how would you word that sentence?
Well, whilst you go on to another subject, I'll put in the chat room here a sentence which I will submit to colleagues.
That's perfect, thank you. And so what I've heard from everyone is that this should remain a letter and not be a statement. I do point out that this is a letter which is for Mr. Shehadeh, that's the CEO. Some of you have mentioned that this should go to the board chair. I'm okay with sending a copy of it to the board chair and a copy of it to the chair of the Public Participation Committee. Which is who is Sébastien Bachollet. If that's okay with everyone, and this is really where the consensus call would go, then we can proceed forward. Jean-Jacques, you've put your hand up again.
Thank you, Olivier, for allowing me to come back into this. Very briefly, I think that we can gain something and certainly have impact by respecting the symmetry of forms. So chair to chair is, I think, the most efficient. Also with a copy to Fadi and a copy to whoever else might be interested. But from my experience in the past at least 2 years, the most efficient, the one which has elicited the strongest and most immediate response, was a letter from chair to chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. I see Carlton Samuels has put his hand up. Carlton, you have the floor.
No, I put it down. I withdraw, Chair. I'm endorsing Jean-Jacques' comment.
Thank you, Carlton. Evan, you put in the chat that the letter should be to the CEO and CC to the board chair and the chair of the PPC.
The PPC.
Which do I go for now?
Who gets the original and who gets the sorry, this is Evan for the record.
Exactly.
Who gets the original and who gets the copy is sort of less relevant than the suggestion that it goes to the PPC and the CEO.
Okay, so I think we'll follow then the advice from Jean-Jacques and address it to Steve Crocker with a copy to the CEO and a copy to Fadi and a copy to Sébastien Bachollet. And I see others agreeing with this. Carlton, your hand is still up.
I'm withdrawing my hand, Chair. Sorry about that. But I agree with that suggestion from Jean-Jacques.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. And so what I'll just ask is for a consensus call here with everyone who is on the call at the moment agreeing to this letter being sent, putting a little green tick next to their name. And this is not a vote, in some famous words that we've heard last week. This is just to get the temperature of the room.
You have to understand how these things work.
I've learned from the best. So there you go. And I see that there are a lot of green ticks. There are a lot of green ticks that we're not going to count because that would make it a vote. But thank you very much, everyone. We'll proceed forward and do this as an action item, please. So let me just send
now
that
you get it.
Email out.
Don't count it. Now you get it.
It gets better as it goes. Anyway, let's move on because we are taking time here, and I do wish to have those ITRs ratified. Sorry, have the rest of this work done. So the Trademark Clearinghouse Strawman Solution. Now, this is a statement which is currently being drafted. Comment period was extended to the 15th of January, 2013, so sometime next year. I note that both Alan and Evan are going to work on this. Obviously, there's going to be some changes to what happens based on today's GNSO Council call. So perhaps we can wait until Alan gives us a little more details later on when he joins the call. Next, we have the currently open public comments, which have somehow either had no statement or not been allocated yet. The first one is the proposed modification of GNSO PDP manual to address the suspension of a PDP. That's a very technical GNSO-related thing. I think that we in our last call had decided that there was going to be no statement, and if Alan thought otherwise, he would have told us about it. The initial comment period closed on the 12th of November. There is a reply period that closes on the 3rd of December. Needless to say, both times have passed. So I think we can just put this one behind us. And next, the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy, Part C, Policy Development Process, Recommendation for Board Consideration. If you remember, we had actually submitted a statement in an earlier part of this process. Now, really, we are at the 11th hour, the point where it just goes to the board, and it was decided that no statement is required since our prior comments had been taken into account. The expert recommended improvements to ICANN's accountability structures. Again, that's a very technical thing about ICANN's accountability. No statement was deemed necessary on this at this point in time, and there might be future times when we can comment on the expert on improvements or not. And next, the application for the new GNSO constituency candidacy, the Public Internet Access and Cyber Cafe Ecosystem. That's, again, a very tricky GNSO political item. And, well, let's just let the GNSO deal with its own backyard. I'm sure we wouldn't want to have the GNSO telling us what to do with our own backyard. So ultimately, this one has been decided as a no statement. The preliminary issue report on the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy Part D, no statement on this for the same reasons as the Part C public comment. Then the at-large white paper on the future challenges entitled Making ICANN Relevant, Responsive, and Respected, the famous R3 paper. I don't think that there should be any comment from this community because this is a public comment that is actually launched by the ALAC itself, and I note that it is the second such public comment request that was ever done by the ALAC. I can't quite remember what the first one was, but this one is particularly important, and there was a webinar that took place yesterday about the matter. It was very well attended. I just wonder if we could have a couple of words from Evan or from Jean-Jacques about this.
Jean-Jacques, do you want to go or should I? Okay, I'll just speak very briefly. The webinar went extremely well. I believe Heidi reported that there were a very large number of people on the call, actually unusual for a webinar of this kind, from many, many different communities. There was a Q&A. I would have liked had more people that were listening to the call participated, but what it does tell me is that there is significant interest from throughout the ICANN community on what we're saying. We're getting the attention of people. Not all of it is positive. We've already heard from some people that have said either we're rocking the boat too much, or there were comments made about trying to bring CCTLDs at least into a certain commonality of practice with GTLDs, and that appears to have gotten some people's nose out of joint. As a matter of fact, we've been told to expect a formal comment from the CCNSO. That's okay. That's part of the conversation that we need to have going forward, and I'm hoping that this will end up being something extremely positive. And that's all I have to say right now on it.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Evan. And we now have also Jean-Jacques, who has put his hand up. Jean-Jacques, super now.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Just to complete what Evan has said, I'd like to make a couple of points. The first is that this webinar gave us the opportunity to develop an interest in this ALAC white paper, as he pointed out, but also to give an indication of our timeline and the way forward. So we did mention the public comment period, which is now going on, and the preparation towards Beijing, where we hope to have an open session. And the important point in my mind is that that session would be or should be attended not only by the usual suspects from within ICANN, but also with people from outside the ICANN world, because as I pointed out in the webinar yesterday, governance has a far more wide remit than simply internet matters. And very often the challenges of governance or good governance are the same broadly regarding internet governance, but also governance more generally. So it might be interesting to make a comparison between the two. And Beijing should offer that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Any questions from anyone on this? I just must say that I'm very glad that this process is moving forward. Whilst in Dubai, I was accosted by some people from ICANN asking me about this white paper. And although there was a little bit of a misunderstanding, I think, from some in thinking that this was advice that we had given to the board and that it needed to be implemented, it is really good to see an actual dialogue taking place across ICANN. I note that the CCNSO is expected to file a public comment, and I also note that some specific parts of the GNSO are probably going to comment as well, either in individual contributions or as SG contributions, official contributions to this process. But let's move on, since we know that this is going to, this is just one part of the process which will culminate in a session, hopefully, in Beijing. So we'll have plenty of time to discuss the future challenges white paper. And let's go now for the item number, so it's B7. The consultation on IANA secure notification process. The public comment period closes in January 2013. I'm not quite sure what to draft here, and I don't know if many of us are particularly knowledgeable about IANA operations. I was going to suggest that we perhaps say something. Send an email over to the technical issues mailing list. We do have a technical issues working group. They might know At the same time, what I might do, and in fact I already have, is to fire an email off to John Curran and to the ASO, basically, Louis Lee and John Curran, and find out whether they knew anything about this and whether it was worth the ALAC drafting anything on this. It seems highly specialized. Anyone has any points of view or idea on this? I don't see anyone jumping up and down, so let's move on to the next one. The protection of IGO, so that's intergovernmental organizations, and INGO identifiers in all GTLDs. Now, this is a working group which has not actually issued an actual public comment process, but it has actually sent out a survey to ask the ALAC and at large of our input. And I know that this is a subject which has taken a serious amount of time in one of our previous ALAC calls. So what I would ask, perhaps, if we can have a concerted reply, we have a bit of time. I don't quite know what the deadline is for providing our input. I think it's sometime in January, mid-January, yeah, 15th of January. If we could have someone holding the pen on this and responding to the questions, it actually deals specifically with questions where we were going to make a statement or whether we have made a statement in the past. For example, the separation of the Red Cross and IOC issues, etc. It really is input from the ALAC and from at large into a GNSO working group. I think it's something we need to take part in. Evan, you put your hand up. Go ahead.
Thanks, Olivia. I just wanted to mention that this is ongoing, and in fact, that particular issue is going on right now during the GNSO meeting that Alan is attending. So on one hand, you could say that there's a very timely issue going on. On the other hand, this is something that is probably going to go in large part into a PDP, and also something in which, you know, we have the ability to comment. Some of the issues, in fact, the board has taken a temporary judgment to block IGO names pending what happens at the GNSO. So there is activity happening. It's still left to be said how urgent this is, because some of this activity may be put into a PDP. And in fact, one of the arguments going on right now, or one of the differences going on right now, is that the GAC has sent a letter believing that this is an implementation issue, whereas the GNSO appears to be pushing back that this is a policy issue. So this debate is ongoing, and we are keeping on top of it. Alan and I are both part of the working group, and there might be others here that are. And so we're definitely following this issue, and we'll certainly have something that we're going to suggest ALAC has to say on this.
Thank you very much, Alan. Evan, sorry. I was just thinking of Alan at the same time. Thanks very much, Evan and Alan, for having, keeping a close track of this. And I note that the chair of that working group is Thomas Rickert. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Okay. Just mentioning him and thanking the fact that we have received officially through the channels a request for the wider input and for our input on this. I think we can just leave this aside, I guess, until after this call, and perhaps this might need to be discussed during the executive committee call, since we will know more from Alan at that time about what's been happening in this. An update should be sent over to the ALAC working group, the ALAC mailing list, and anyone who will wish to take part into the inputs that we bring in there is very much encouraged to step forward when this email is sent out. Next is the statement on the WCIT outcomes. As you know, the World Conference on International Communication Telecommunications took place last week and the week before. I will be providing an update shortly. But one thing, though, that I think should be done, and it will come from the lessons learned that I'll be speaking to you about, is a statement to the board supporting the visit of Fadi Shehade at the WCIT. He was invited by Dr. Touré, the president of the International Telecommunications Union, and he was invited to address the audience on the first day, on the opening day, and I think that was a good warming up of relations. At the same time, there is a lot more that ICANN needs to do as part of the multi-stakeholder process out there. And most of it is due to the fact that ICANN and the work that is being performed by ICANN and the multi-stakeholder model that it works on is currently totally misunderstood and not welcoming enough for many countries around the world. So I'll be speaking about this in a moment. Jean-Jacques, you have put your hand up.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. I'd like to give a sense of what I take away from this. I was not in Dubai, but I've read pieces here and there. I have a very strong feeling, especially about one feature, one fact. It's that in the long months building up to the Dubai meeting, people in ITU and perhaps some governments were trying to persuade the public that it was very much about either governments or the rest. And what became quite evident during this meeting is that actually it is not, on the one hand, sovereign states, and on the other hand, the service providers, the general public, the general users, etc. There is a clear division among sovereign states. So that is a new fact. It is a political fact of great importance, I would like to underline, because now we know that governments are divided. And although we knew about this because we are in the ICANN world, I think that many people outside of our circles were not as conscious as we are of this. So sorry for laboring upon this this concept, but I think it is of great importance and we should integrate this into our thinking for future challenges, for instance, because we cannot consider the states or the GAC as one, with one voice and with one advice. They are very different positions. So that's something we have to work on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques, and that's duly noted. I totally agree with you very much what's going on at the moment. We saw an east-west, north-south divide more so than a government versus civil society divide. Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's Cheryl Langdonor for the Transcript Record, and I'm doing my best to try and get as much sound into the microphone as possible. Just to follow on from what Jean-Jacques Supreno just said, I thought it was worthwhile noting that the additional exposure that is happening in the landscape, in the ISTAR landscape, means we do need to be prepared as at-large structures to be more engaged in our local internet communities and with the decision makers from these communities, which can talk to government and other influential people in our own backyards. And point in case would be what I think is probably not unrelated to the wonderful world of Wicked, but basically also of the increasing awareness in government and in other circles of the importance of ICANN and what ICANN does, would be the fact that our Minister for Communications, Senator Stephen Conroy, who is well aware of ICANN, I can assure you, because we, via AUDA, meet with him at regular intervals, But for the first time, and these are people with very busy schedules, to my knowledge, a serving minister has now, Minister for Communications, has now put in a expression of interest to serve on ICANN's ATRC number 2. That's a huge elevation. That's something of great significance, but it's also something that we, with our at-large structures and, of course, with our outreach, need to be ahead of the game on, because there's now multiple points where we need to see how we can influence and get the voice that we need to bring to the table. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and great news to hear. And certainly the amount of, the number of ministers that took part in WCIC and actually decided to talk to everyone and to meet with civil society that was present there was really, really good. But anyway, I'll be thinking about this in a moment. So this statement on the WCIT outcomes is something I shall be drafting. It's not time sensitive, as in we don't need to file it by next week. But I think there are a number of things which I can should learn from the 2 weeks that have taken place there. Maybe not the most obvious of things, so that statement, that draft is coming soon. The next number 10 and number 11 are both consultations on the Internet Number Resources Performance Standard and a consultation on the INAC Customer Service Complaint Resolution Process. I am, again, not quite sure whether we have had any knowledge of this. I note that a question was sent to the technical issues mailing list regarding the second one of those, or maybe both, and there was no reply. Again, something to follow up with John Curran and with Louis Lee. That's an action item for myself. Right. Any questions or comments on any of these parts of the agenda? Otherwise, we'll move on. Great. So, agenda item number 7 we've already dealt with. So this goes forward, and it's not a statement, and it was not a vote. And number 8, update on the WCIT. Ah, well, that takes us to the not a statement, not a vote, not a treaty thing. So I was very lucky to spend 2 weeks in Dubai, locked in a metallic box between 8 a.m. and 1:30 a.m. Yes, that's about 17 hours a day in trying to bash together a treaty which had to be updated. The previous version of this treaty having been published in 1988. Yes, that's 24 years ago. And the big difference between 1988 and now is that since that time, the Internet has turned out to be one of the most prolific means of telecommunications around the world. As a result, several members of the International Telecommunication Union, members which, by the way, are only states, so we're talking about countries, and a few monopolistic telcos or ex-monopoly telecommunication companies, these members decided that the Internet needed to be included and these ITRs needed to be brought up to date by including this. So the process prior to WCIT took place for several months, and we reached the point of having the two-week meeting having to go line by line between the different proposals from the different member countries. It was a very onerous process, very tiring. The chair of the conference was the chair of the National Telecommunication Regulation Authority of the United Arab Emirates, Mr. Mohammed Al Ghanem, and the chair of the conference, of course, was Dr. Touré, the chair of the ITU. At the beginning of the conference, the audience was assured that the Internet was not going to come into the regulations at all due to a huge media campaign that took place prior to the 2 weeks starting, and several news outlets saying that it was the battle for the Internet and whether the Internet was going to be taken over by the ITU. So we were told there was not going to be such a thing, and that governments were not going to take over the running of the Internet. There was no chance of that, and that the regulations themselves were not about any kind of content. It was just going to be telecommunications, and that was it. Actually, over the week, several proposals came out. It was a week that was full of drama, should I say. An interesting way of doing things, with countries basically having the chance to comment on each and every line of the treaty. And in fact, some countries did comment on each and every line. In fact, some countries commented on each and every word of the treaty, which was quite time-consuming, and got a few of the nights to end up at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, which was very late. The atmosphere was rather tense, because in the first weekend, there was a proposal that certainly sprung out at the very last minute of the plenary meeting on Friday, that the United Arab Emirates, along with Saudi Arabia and Russia and Egypt and a couple of other countries, were going to have a consolidated proposal that was going to include some of their common points between several Arabic countries, but also countries in Africa. This proposal was actually never seen, or rather never officially seen, because what happened was on the Saturday, as things happen, the document was leaked via WCIT leaks, and the different delegations over the weekend spent much time looking at the document, but refrained from commenting on a document that did not officially exist. This, of course, raised so much noise because of the what the document was asking for, basically asking for the Internet governance to be passed over to the ITU and to relevant countries. And we are talking here about the names, the addresses, all of the resources, including also the IANA functions, to be handed over to governments. Quite a shocking document indeed. Thankfully, it was then withdrawn on the Monday. But then suddenly on the Tuesday resurfaced as a Russian proposal. Hooray! Rather strangely indeed, actually, just being sort of rebranded effectively as a Russian proposal, which then never got taken into account because the chair of the meeting steered everyone away from this, apart from one clause, one regulation which remained in the list of regulations, which was that for the numbering resources. And that was removed at the very last moment on the Wednesday of the second week. On the Wednesday night of the second week, by that time, basically, we had gone through several battles, but on Wednesday night, the section about the Internet suddenly came up again. That was not a regulation, that was just a statement about the Internet. No one had read it before. It was proposed in the evening at about 10 p.m. It was vehemently fought by several governments, including the United States and several European governments and others. And suddenly the chair decided that he was going to take the temperature of the room, in his own words, thus getting the people around the room, the countries around the room, in favor of including that resolution in the final document, to raise their lollipop, the lollipop being this big board with the code name of their country, A quick count was made of those in favor and those who were against it. And then the chair decided to pass that resolution and say, well, this is resolved, and therefore this resolution will be in the final document. That raised a few points of order from around the room, asking whether this really was not a vote. And yes, it was not a vote, but yet the chair made it some kind of consensus call. Still not quite understood how this worked. This, unfortunately, raised the level of mistrust from both sides, those in favor of the ITRs and those against the ITRs, to a new level, with also a level of mistrust towards the chair of the conference. And it did not help at all, which meant that by Thursday of the second week, the atmosphere was particularly tense, and the level of unhappiness in the room on both sides and frustration on both sides were pretty high. Frustration because many of the African countries and Arabic countries who had come with a number of proposals that were fought off one by one were of the view, of the point of view that they had made a lot of compromises, whilst Europe and the United States had not done any compromise on anything. Of course, similar frustration in Europe and in the United States that they were the ones about to lose the control of the Internet and standing the most to lose, but they had not come up with any additional proposals. So they had already made a lot of compromises. It's always the same thing, isn't it? Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Anyway, the last day, which was the Thursday, last day of discussions, European governments were actually quite close to being able to sign, but the last plenary was particularly dramatic again because a consolidated proposal from the chair, which was actually quite good because it got rid of most of the particularly bad language and most of the offending regulations, but kept, and one has to say, there are a number of very good regulations in the document. It kept those. There are a couple of regulations which were still very, very touchy. For example, Article 5A, which deals with security and talks about the security of the networks needed to be ensured by governments. When really the proposals from the UK in particular was to use the word resilience or robustness or availability or words which would not include any chance of having some kind of control over the accessibility of the network, such as, for example, having your identity linked to your accessibility of the network, words that would effectively stop you from having free speech and be misinterpreted to be able to filter the network, etc. And then Article 5B, which relates to spam, and which was then renamed the sort of other words for spam. I don't have the actual article in front of me, but really is saying that spam was not about content. And this just doesn't make sense at all. In order to be able to classify some email or information as spam, you really have to read it. So that was a big question mark. And especially putting this in parallel with standard number Y2770, which had been voted on or prepared at the WTSA 2 weeks earlier. And that's a standard which makes it mandatory for all of the next generation networks to have deep packet inspection performed on them, the DPI. And that actually specifically speaks about the detection of spam using DPI. So very suspicious article, which got some member countries to say we are not going to sign an agreement which still has this article in it. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the last plenary was very abruptly interrupted by Iran, who asked for a vote to take place. The vote took place. The United States voted that they were not going to. The vote took place on something that was unrelated to telecommunications, actually, on basically the inclusion of language with regards to human rights. That none of the regulations would impinge on the state's human rights. On the human rights of people. And there was also some push by some countries to add something about the right of states to have telecommunications. That infuriated other countries because they thought you could not put an individual right, which was a universal declaration of human rights, along with the right of a state to have telecommunication services, especially when that state lost its telecommunication privileges because of their activity in human rights. And it's one of these things where the whole discussion broke down very quickly. A vote was taken, and both the line about human rights, but also the line about the state's rights to telecommunication were both included. That got the United States to declare they would not be signing the ITRs, and several other European countries would not be signing them, and a handful of countries outside Europe and the US also following suit. Some might sign in the future. They will just take more time to read through those and perhaps sign with a reservation. In fact, if you look at the document itself, the final document with all of the list of reservations, several countries have signed the ITRs, but they have emitted a reservation which basically says, we reserve the right not to follow any of these ITRs. So it's interesting because you can sign and say you're not going to follow anything, or you cannot sign and say you might sign later. So the overall thing, though, is that the consensus which the ITU has wanted to have doesn't seem to have happened. And so now there are a lot of big question marks around the ITU, around the process by which these ITRs were drafted and where we are going. On a personal note, I found the whole process to be absolutely fascinating. There are a number of things which I have noticed, though. The first one is the fact that, yes, you do have political, you do have countries with all sorts of political agendas. And so their choices into signing or not signing or coming up with suggestions for the ITRs is very politically motivated, sometimes to actually resolve a problem that they have at home and by bringing it onto the international stage. That's one thing. The other, though, is that, yes, you do have this north-south and east-west divide that suddenly came on the scene. And it was, I think, quite unfortunate, but I guess this is how the geopolitics of the world relate to telecommunications. One thing that I have seen, though, is there are many countries in lesser served parts of the world, in Africa, for example, where the representatives of those countries were not totally aware of what the multi-stakeholder model was and of what ICANN does and how multi-stakeholder compares more favorably to multilateralism, where it's just countries talking to each other. I do think that there is a lot of work that needs to be done in outreach in those countries. And this is the gist of the statement that I wish to send over to the board. I think it's important that we continue in our work, recognizing that many, maybe not many, but several of our at-large structures had a direct input into the process, into the group that was in Dubai. I certainly liaised with many of our ALSs over there that were there, and it has really helped in getting the message across and certainly having some discussion outside the main room. I really think that there is a lot of work to be done in there, especially when countries turned to me and said, well, listen, we understand that there is this multi-stakeholder process out there, but what has the multi-stakeholder process ever done for us? We tried going into ICANN. We didn't know where we would have to go, what fora were available for us to bring our input. I'm speaking here not only about governments, but also other organizations that, that are from those countries. Some of them have benefited from programs which were run by the ITU in their country, development programs for IT, for local work, and of course there hasn't been very much done by ICANN in there. So I hope that with the new season that has been described by Fadi Shahabi, we will be able to have something. And I think that at large, we are the community that is able to make this happen and to bridge the gap. So it really puts the light on us to make sure that in the future we will not have another WCIT where the world just divides itself north, south, east, west. I'm sorry for the length of time it's taken me to say this. I'm just saying this ad lib, but I see several hands up. And so I now open the floor for comments and debate. Jean-Jacques Subrenard, you're our first in the list.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. First remark, welcome to multilateral diplomacy. So you did see the complexity of this at its best. Actually, your account, your verbal account, Olivier, was so brilliant and so tantalizing that I've chewed my pencil to its core. Now I have some lead in my stomach, and you're to blame. I do have a question. On the wiki page, I see that the people from the ALAC who were present, never mind which RALOs, because they were not sent by their RALOs, but I see that you, for instance, were part of the UK delegation. So does this mean that actually ICANN did not manage to integrate its various parts as a team, and therefore it somehow did not exactly strengthen the visibility and presence of ICANN as a whole? Is that true? And then I have a couple of remarks. If you could just give me a quick answer on that.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Well, as I said earlier, Fadi Shehadeh came for a couple of days, along with Steve Crocker. After that, we had Nigel Hickson, who was there for the full 2 weeks, and who provided quite a deep daily briefing of meetings that he had had, but also a sort of bilateral meetings that he had had, but also at the same time also providing an input about what's been happening during the day's plenaries. There is a question, though, with regards to everyone being able to speak. It's only governments that are able to speak, and yes, some of us were part of country delegations. I was part of the UK delegation. Others were part of the US delegation, and were really able to not only attend the plenaries, but also the workshop, bearing in mind that the workshops could not be attended by some people. Civil society, for example, that was not affiliated to any members, were not allowed in the workshops, and some of the ad hoc workshops that took place. So there was a certain level of opaqueness, I guess, and the plenary sometimes appearing to be just for show and for the webcast rather than the actual work that takes place there. The coordination, though, between ICANN and the regional internet registries and the internet society and the various people that were in their national delegation was very good. It happened through Skype, it happened through email, it happened through some mailing lists and through face-to-face discussions that we had sometimes in the evening or at lunchtime. Although, yes, ICANN was not present as a force in itself, it is not a member of the ITU. ICANN was there, and I think it was very, very helpful that Nigel, at least, was there to be able to navigate through all of what was going on.
Thank you, Olivier. May I just follow on with a suggestion? One of the specific items you mentioned, though briefly, is DPI, Deep Packet Investigation. Now, this may seem rather bland or mild to people in Australia, Canada, or Denmark, for instance, but it is one of the most dangerous things for humanity. It's the ultimate tool which will allow the destruction of privacy. So my specific suggestion is that we should now embark upon preparing a statement, or a paper rather, a white paper, which would be something like the outcome of WCIT and the global public interest. And we could use this opportunity to take up a certain number of issues, such as DPI, but others as well, and to gauge their importance or the possible impact widely on the general user of the Internet, because that is certainly not something which was first and foremost in the minds of the delegates, the country delegates at the ITU. And I'm sure that Evan and I would be able to prepare a draft, at least some major points which could then be developed by members willing to join a work team in the Future Challenges Working Group on what I think is a very important subject. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. That's a very good point that you have made here, and I would be fully supportive of this, and if I can help you on that, I'd be very interested in doing so. Let's put this on the side for the time being. I mean, there's also a question as to whether we could have maybe a panel discussion or or maybe we can have a follow-up meeting in Beijing about this WCIT. I see others. Jean-Jacques, I'll come back to you in a moment, but first we'll have Yaovi Atahun.
He's disconnected.
Ah, you have disconnected, Yaovi. Oh, dear. Okay, well, we'll come back to you as soon as you're back to being connected. Next is Tijani Benjamal.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. You just explained how the world is divided, and the world is divided between cultures. We have to recognize that countries, even if they are on the government, even if they are the guard, they still have concerns, big concerns about internet control. So we do need to find a way to elevate these concerns, or perhaps to remove them. And to remove them, we need a lot of efforts. We need efforts to make ICANN more international. More international, I say it twice. We need also to have IANA to be international. This is also a concern of those people. I am absolutely attached to the multi-stakeholder model. I am absolutely against any control of the Internet by government. But I want this model to work, and this model cannot work if we don't improve ourselves, if ICANN don't improve itself, if governments don't agree on improving this model. And I think that we have to work together an atlas to raise awareness and fight ICANN. But we need more efforts to make those governments more, security. They are already on the gas, but they still have concerns. So we need to do something. We need to do more to make them more confident and to make them more secure. It is our interest. It is the interest of the world. It is the interest of the internet, but it is the interest of the world. So I think that there is an effort to be done inside ICANN also. And for sure, we have to make more outreach towards those governments. We need to explain more, but before that, and in the meantime, we need also to improve ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani, and I absolutely agree with you. And I think that any statement that we make to the board will need to take this into account. Certainly, some of the feedback that I have had from governments that are unhappy with the multi-stakeholder model stem from the fact that they have tried to take part in the GAC, and that maybe the GAC needs to improve also. They have tried to take part in other processes in ICANN and have found them to not be to the level that they were hoping they were going to be. So there definitely is a lot of effort for ICANN to make itself more international. Very, very important points indeed, Tijani. And in fact, I have also heard from governments in Europe complaining about some parts of ICANN and saying how they're not satisfied with the way things are running at the moment. So, you know, there certainly is a lot of criticism going on. There's also at the same time an absolute support of the multi-stakeholder model. And I think it's good to hear so much support from so many governments. But certainly we can do things better. And we have to work on doing things better. With regards to the D-packet inspection that Jean-Jacques spoke about earlier, yes, very, very dangerous. And it is understood by many governments already that allowing D-packet inspection to take place on the Internet will be the biggest danger to human rights and to freedom of speech around the world. So, of course, many countries already use deep packet inspection, but it is not the norm. And allowing this to become the norm, the normal thing to do, is really a big setback for freedom of speech and for human rights. And we will really have to fight for this. Yaobi, are you back with us?
Thank you, I'm back.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you. I have one suggestion. Before the conference, we had a lot of discussions going on mailing list, website, and the main question is IT going to take over the control of the Internet? So I have one question. After this conference, can we say yes or no? That is my question. Now, the second point is a proposal. I would suggest that we have a webinar to more inform about the RTR. Because before the conference, there are many things related to telecommunication in general that many people were not aware of. So I think it is very important for our analysts also to know also what is happening on the ITU side. And before that conference in Berlin, for example, we wanted to talk to, we were asking the government people, what is your position about the modification people wanted to introduce, ITU wanted. And then we were never able to have this meeting before that conference. And we can see that also, I think Berlin signed the ITU. But I'm wondering if it's in reality, people who signed this document, they were able to read out, understand everything. So this is to support again the idea to have a webinar on on the outcome of the conference, so that we are more informed and then we can more interact at the local level with our government people. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yaobi, and thank you for these questions. I think I can answer at least one of the two. The one on the question, is the ITU going to take over the Internet? And I think that there is a misunderstanding that we all fell into, the fact that the ITU was going to decide. It's not the ITU. The ITU is a member organization. Members, which are countries, come up with proposals, and then as a whole, they vote for these proposals or they agree to them. And to put them in the ITRs, in the regulations or not. Whether the ITU is now going to take over the Internet based on the new recommendations and the new regulations, it looks as though this is not going to be the case, at least for the time being. There is no specific clause that asks for the names and the numbers of the Internet to be run by countries. As I said, some articles are ambiguous, and it might be used by the ITU by ITU member countries to push for an agenda to start trying to take over bit by bit parts of the Internet. But it's something that is yet to be seen. There is a plenipotentiary conference coming up. There are many other conferences that will come up, and I gather that what's happened at WCIT is just one of many battles that will be fought in the future, because those countries that are pushing for the ITU to take on more responsibility in running key parts of the Internet are going to continue asking for these. With regards to having a conference call on the ITRs themselves, it is worth remembering that the regulation proposals were only available about a month before the conference started. So when we had our conference call that took place, there was no knowledge of all of the proposals that were in by then. A very good idea. Perhaps should we have a conference call in January, where Nigel Hickson could provide us with the good details of what those regulations are, and perhaps could we have the final version of the document available on our WCIT working space for us to be able to read through them at our own time. You'll be seeing many of the regulations are actually very good. Some are absolutely terrible. And I see Avery having a point of view with regards to the camel getting its hooks or nose into the tent or Internet. I'll get Jean-Jacques Subrenat back on the call, and I wonder if Avery could have a few words afterwards, if you're okay with that, Avery. First, Jean-Jacques Subrenat.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. Yes, Olivier, you mentioned the idea of a brainstorming. I don't remember if you used that word, but the idea was an exchange of views in an informal way about my suggestion. Yes, I completely support that, but I would say that requires adequate preparation. And I think that rather than launch a very large discussion like this without adequate preparation, it may be a better idea to submit to those who will be participating a preparatory paper, which can first be discussed within the ALAC or, for instance, within the Future Challenges Working Group, and which could be posted on a wiki page. And I'm sure that Evan would agree with me that we should launch this. If you agree, we would do this very gladly. Just a remark about the importance of DPI as one of the main challenges or dangers for civil rights, for human rights, for very basic things. DPI is used currently by North Korea, Iran, China, but also by the USA under the aegis of Homeland Security. And this is of extreme importance to be mentioned because it is because of measures taken like this by democratic countries like the US, which lead other governments, which are not democratic, let's say Russia or China, to say, aha, but you see, even Washington is using this in a very common fashion. So who are you to tell us that we should not be doing this? So this leads me to underline how important it is that we have a broad view, which would be the results or the outcome of the WCIT and the global public interest. And in that, we could include a very pungent chapter on GPI. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Then we have Fatima Cambranero, and I'm going to close the queue after Fatima and give the last word to Avery, if we can have a few words from her. Fatima Cambranero, please.
This is Fatima for the record. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Olivier. I would like to make a brief comment on this subject. First of all, I am not able to make an analysis of the wiki because I am not an expert in telecommunications. I may be able to speak quite a lot about content on human rights, or if internet was included without mentioning the word internet and all the other issues that have been discussed. I think it is important to take into account this cooperation period that is being started between ICANN and the ITU, and if this is so, well, I welcome that. I also consider that ICANN, since the ICANN does not want the ITU to intervene in its issue, well, the ITU may believe the same. So I believe that we need to focus on ICANN and on the multi-stakeholder model because we know how they work. And this event of the ITU was useful for us to understand that governments are important, but they are just one part or one actor that participate in the model. So the GAC is their place or a scenario where they can participate, and they have to spread their views there. And if there is any other place where they can participate, well, they can do so in those places. But we need to pay attention to that and not to intervene in other issues that we are not able to understand. We need to be in touch with the functions and roles that we are focused on, and we need to reinforce our multi-stakeholder model. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Fatima. And that's noted. We definitely have to do, before trying to fix what's outside, let's try and fix what we have inside. And there is definite push for this to happen. If at all, as I said, one thing that this meeting, these 2 weeks have done, are to open my eyes and the eyes of several other people about things that still need to be done by developed countries for developing countries and for those countries that have not yet got the access that they should have to the multi-stakeholder model. Avery, are you able to say a few more words? Because I know you had a slightly different point of view. You were also in there as part of the U.S. delegation. You were part of the U.S. government delegation. Goodness, how shocking to see you, Avery, as a government person. Are you able to say a few words?
I can try. Can you hear me?
We can barely hear you. You don't sound too
okay,
helpful
well,
at the moment.
Okay, well, fine. Oh, that's quite all right. If you can hear me, I'll just say a few words. I think the idea of having a larger, longer conversation on this is a good idea. This is only the first act between now and the plenipotentiary in 14. There are several more occasions. The panel will work on getting it set further and further into the tent, and the rest of us will work on keeping it out. I think there's a lot of work in continuing the discussions. I think this one was a draw. Each side got a bit. nothing is over on a treaty that doesn't take effect until 2015. Who knows who will still sign? Who knows what will change? Who knows what other resolutions will be made? I think ICANN and ITU declared a separate peace among themselves, and that ICANN is relatively safe on that front for as long as the ITU decides that it's relatively safe and the treaty holds up. I think it's really good for ICANN to get its house in order, but I don't think WCCID or the plenipotentiary is the reason. I think if anything, ICANN may be under the microscope again after the Plenipot 14, but through this next year and a half, 2 years, I think the separate treaty will hold. That's about it.
Thank you very much, Avery, and I note that your voice was sounded as though it went through a ringer or something. Maybe it was already DPI'd, sort of taken apart, analyzed, and then put back together by some device. Who knows? But it's good to hear this. I totally agree with you. So ICANN has some time to get its house in order, and we know that there are a lot of things it needs to do. I suggest a couple of number of action items. One is to have a conference call in January that will deal with this, where we can have Nigel Hickson and perhaps a handful of other invitees to let us know, give us their impressions 1 month on about what's happened in Dubai. On top of that, I'm going to suggest a first statement that I'm going to draft specifically addressing a handful of points in Dubai, and also supporting the visit of the chair and the CEO. I see here Heidi asks, is the webinar only for at-large? We could have it for more than just at-large. I think we can host it and have an ICANN-wide webinar on this. I don't think there's anything wrong with in us doing that. I don't see anybody else in ICANN being able to host a webinar about this subject. So that's one thing. Now, my screen is flashing all over the place. I don't know what's going on now. Okay. Shall I just pause for a second? Apparently, we've run out of space for notes. Just give me a shout. Are we okay with moving on? Can you take more notes? So that's first. Now, an additional action item for the Future Challenges Working Group, perhaps to look at this specific point of what ICANN needs to do along the lines of what Jean-Jacques and Evan have told us. And that would be for a statement that would not be an immediate statement. It can be a statement that will be done sometime in January for the working group to be able to work on. So that's another action item. And I think that's enough action items for this subject for the time being. And now we have a mouthful of the time. This was supposed to take only 10 minutes, but we can have an update from selected at-large working groups. From the working group chairs, we've got Cheryl, Avery, Dev, Sandra, and Renalia. And I'll just ask for each of the chairs to let us know what has been happening in their working groups since the last call that we've had. First, the Rules of Procedure and the ALAC Metrics Subcommittee. Cheryl Langdonor.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I thought I was second cab off the rank after Avery, but I'll pop in. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. Very brief, but positive report. The Rules of Procedure Review Working Group, including the metrics work, met as a committee of the whole. I think it was only last week, but my life is a blur at the moment for personal reasons. It was a very positive meeting, but the intention of the meeting was to have each of the drafting teams give clear guidance and timelines and planning for what else needs to be done before we will be presenting the ALAC with a completed draft. at the moment, and I will update at the executive committee meetings between now and the ALAC's next meeting in January. We would envisage that we will be presenting the ALAC documentation for consideration between its January teleconference and its February teleconference, which would mean the ALAC would be encouraged to vote online during that time. But in the work-up to that, and particularly during the mid to late January period, we would strongly encourage, request and desire that each of the ALAC members keep a very close eye on the updates of documentation that will be going up onto our busy space. And to that end, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be so bold as to ask if you could instruct staff to perhaps send to the ALAC links a little mention if anything significant goes up, so that we could have sort of little reminders during the January period that here is a wiki page it would be wise for you to go and read, comment on and contribute to the process, so that when you put the draft together, when you call for your vote, you've effectively had a fairly long amount of time for your ALAC members to both discuss and contribute to the final documentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Is this something which can be done using the notification part of the wiki, you know, when you sort of click watch this page type thing?
Look, anyone who actually is actively involved in the wiki is logging in and doing all of that sort of thing, yes, that would work ideally. And those members of the ALAC who do that will find that will happen, particularly if they're watching the pages or the space. I don't live in a utopian world. I know people don't do that. I'd like to push as well.
Okay, thank you. So let's have Matt make sure this is tracked. Okay, any questions or comments on this? I see Alan Greenberg has put his hand up. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'll just remind the group that in Toronto we did make a commitment that the draft rules would be going out, be available to the rest of the community, and input channeled in through the ALAC, through their respective ALAC members. So we need to make sure that happens as we're going through this process. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan.
So
next in the...
Was...
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, Cheryl, just to make the action item clear for Matt, where I said ALAC list, it should be ALAC and regional list.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have that. So next we have the new GTLD working group. Avery Doria, please.
Okay,
I have the floor.
Hi. Hi, this is Avery. I hope you can hear me.
Oh, you sound a lot better a moment ago.
Yeah,
you must have cleared your throat.
I decided that the Adobe talk method does not really work, so I dialed in. I was hoping not to have to. In any case, in terms of the monthly reports for the new GTLD working group, and I did submit a report, but at the very last minute while this meeting was actually ongoing. First point, I've pretty much been missing in action for the last month. We canceled the meeting for this December as I was not prepared and had not sent out notification in time. That's the first status item. Second status item, I did not have a chance to get updates from team members who are working on the outreach evaluation and recommendation subteam. Now, in point, some of them, like I believe Tijani and Dev and probably others, are members of ALAC, so of course they can, you know, directly say where the various sub-teams are with the various efforts if this meeting wishes and if they wish. Finally, we were asked, or I was asked, if the working group wanted to recommend a statement to ALAC on the trademark clearinghouse debacle, I mean Sprawman. It did not seem like there was any bottom-up drive in the working group to do one. So I declined the offer on behalf of the working group to recommend a statement on the trademark clearinghouse strawman to ALEC. That's about it. And there's another meeting. We have a meeting planned for January, but I forget when it is.
Okay, thank you very much, Avery.
You're welcome.
This comprehensive feedback. I see that Alan Greenberg has put his hand up. Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. I'll just note that what Avery said about the straw man, a statement on the straw man is correct, but based on the GNSO meeting held today, I am going to be recommending the ALAC formulate a statement, and I'll go into that in a little bit more detail later. Thank you.
In a while. Okay, thank you. Next, and I don't see anybody having put their hand up, so thank you very much, Avery, for this report. Next, we have Devin and Tiluxane for the new GTLD review group.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Devin and Tiluxane. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you. Okay, well, I can formally announce on December 11th, 2012, that the objection period for the new GTLD has been extended from January 12th. To March 13th, 2013. So this now again we've reorganized our activities and we've updated the one-page summary of the objection process. And now we are looking for comments from the at-large community by January 16th, 2013, in order to for the review group to then consider these comments, draft possible statements, and of course. The whole process, you know, getting RELO approval and then ELAC approval. So there has only been one comment, a request to create a comment for .nyc, but today that comment has yet to be filed by the person asking for that page to reopen. And I think that's it. I sent out the notifications all last night.
Thank you very much, Dev. And we have Avery Doria with her hand up. Avery, you have the floor.
Yeah, I have. This is Avery. I have just one quick question, which is on the outreach to the ALSs in terms of them knowing that they have an opportunity and that opportunity has been extended. I was just wondering, has that been done or has it just been that the Rallos were notified and hoping that they, within their processes, would notify the ALSs in time? And just wondering, have we reached everyone that needs to be reached during these last few weeks of the possibility of using the at-large objection? Obviously, I'm not hankering for any, but I want to make sure that every ALS knows that it has this opportunity. And I don't know whether that is the case or not. I belong to one ALS, and they know because I told them myself, but it didn't get there by any other means. Thank you.
Can I respond? Thank you. This is Dave speaking. Thanks, Harvey, for the question. Yesterday, what I did, I actually emailed all of the discussion list for all five reloads and also posted it to the at-large worldwide. And so hopefully I think all those ALSs that should be on these mailing lists should hopefully get a chance to read it. And I also attached the documents, the one-page summary and the timeline documents as part of the email. So there's no, they have all the information they have to understand the process and what they need to do. So hopefully, and given that it's only till January 16th, that yes, we'll get some more comments from at-large, or at least that the at-large community is fully aware that there's still some time left.
Thank you very much, Dev, for this answer, and thanks for having emailed all of the RALO lists, the local lists, which should reach all the ALSs. I see three hands up. Avery, you still have your hand up? No, you don't. So Alan and then Cheryl. Alan Greenberg first.
Yeah, thank you. I'll just make a comment that I think the world has changed significantly from when the working group made the decision. When the comment came in, I think it was on .book. I don't remember exactly. And basically the working group response was That's an interesting comment, but it's really out of scope. The decision was made, and we have to live with the ICANN decision at this point. I think the world has changed a lot since then. The comments that have surfaced from a variety of sources indicate that there may be a lot of opposition to the generic words being owned by people, and sufficient opposition that it may even come down to the board exercising their prerogative of public interest and not delegating, if it were to come to that. And I think we need to make sure that the ALAC is comfortable in not making any comment on the general issue at this point, or uncomfortable with it, because I think the world has changed a fair amount in the last 2 to 3 months in terms of the perception of how the GTLD namespace is unfolding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next is Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the transcript record. Very briefly, I just wanted to pick up on what Avery was saying. I think we probably should make sure that we can show best effort at doing exactly what you're suggesting, Avery, which is ensuring that the ALSs have every reasonable opportunity to be aware. With the email Dev was suggesting, and now I've heard what Alan says, of course, that could be something that goes up on as a comment somewhere in one of the wiki pages, and a link to get that discussion going could happen, or whatever. I mean, that's up to the working group. But whatever it is that is in this email, I wondered if Sylvia would suggest to the regional leaders, that whoever is running their secretariat function, that particularly at this time of year, we could rather just send things to the list, and I'm not denigrating that. I think we have to do that, and that's already been done. But I would be very keen to actually push it directly to contact emails that each Rutlow would have for ALS representatives. It's very common for things that get done at this time of year to be heavily criticised because, you know, we weren't looking, and how would you have expected us to look at this time of year, closed inverted commas. And so I think if we do at least see if the secretariats can push directly to any or all the email addresses for their contacts for each of the ALSs, then at least we're closer to making a best effort. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Sylvia Vivanco.
Yes, yes, this is Sylvia Vivanco. I just wanted to mention, yes, I can do that. We can reach out to each LS through the mail list, and I can coordinate with Dev and copy him and reach out to all of them so they are fully aware of the process. So I will take that action item.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. And I note that since you will take the action item, you will record that accordingly.
Yes.
Thank you. So now we can move on to the next, which is the At-Large Academy Working Group. And it's actually the ICANN Academy Working Group, I guess, as well. Sandra Hoferichter. And Sandra, we can't hear you at the moment. You might have been muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Now we can hear you. Go ahead, Sandra.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to say a few words. I'd like to use this opportunity to urge all the participants on this call to participate in the survey which has been sent out through the RALO chairs and the RALO secretariat. And we just learned from them that it's extremely important to raise awareness, to build capacity in not only in developing countries but elsewhere, to explain the bit and the beauty of the multi-stakeholder model. The ICANN Academy is one tool, is such a tool, and it should be developed, and ICANN should definitely put more input into capacity building than in the past. To go forward in this project at this very critical moment, we have to have a really, really good outcome from this survey, because this will be the basis for our future work. and really ask you to participate in this survey. Another update is that unfortunately our main staff contact point, Phyllis Yilmaz, is leaving ICANN by the end of the year. I'm very sad about this because she was at least the one who brought this project forward and who put this on the agenda jointly with the at-large at the very first beginning. I learned that our new main contact staff, Denise Michel, I don't know her. I'm very much looking forward to working with her because we have a lot of tasks ahead. So please do participate. And I post just the link into the Adobe chat room for this survey.
Thank you very much, Sandra. And it is also worth noting that there was a call earlier this week about capacity building, the capacity building working group, which will work alongside the at-large academy working group to cater primarily for at-large structures, and the work that they are going to do is also very important, especially when one looks at the outcomes of the WCIT. It was decided that a steering committee would be created rather than just have one or two co-chairs, and the steering committee will follow up. I thought it would be a little premature to have an update from the working group yet, and look forward to hearing about process from that newly created working group in our next call sometime next year. Any questions or comments regarding the ICANN Academy? If I could say, if you have not seen this survey yet from your Raylo leadership, please hound them, ask them for it, make sure that it is distributed. This is a very important piece of work. The at-large community and at-large advisory committee have been one of the main driving forces behind the ICANN Academy. If we don't provide the level of input that is high enough and don't lead by example, I don't know how other parts of the community are going to be able to follow if we don't do that ourselves either. So we have to show the amount of support we have here. Okay, let's move on. We now still have an update from the ALAC subcommittee on the ATRT2, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team number 2. Rinalia Abdul-Rahim, are you still on the call? I see Reid being there. You have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. We can hear you, yes.
Thank you.
Excellent. This is Rinalia Abdul-Rahim for the transcript record. I am pleased to provide an update regarding the ALAC subcommittee on ATRT2 candidate endorsement. The committee had its first meeting yesterday on the 19th of December for approximately 90 minutes. We had full attendance. The members of the committee are all ALAC members, and the committee is regionally balanced. The members are Yaovi, Sandra, Holly, Eduardo, Dev, and myself. I've been confirmed as the subcommittee chair via unanimous vote, and Olivier is an observer of the committee, but he will not observe discussions related to candidate assessment based on the concerns expressed by various ALAC members. During the meeting, the committee reviewed our mandate and agreed on the confidentiality policy and practices that will govern our work, and on this confidentiality policy, we draw from the best practices of the nominating committee of ICANN, and we added our own additions. We reviewed our task timeline, and we noted that we have 5 weeks to deliver results to the ALAC, and I'm confident that the committee is up to the task. We also discussed various points on the overall endorsement process. We went through the candidate assessment method and agreed on a revised version of the matrix that takes into consideration the input that ALAC members have provided. We are still working on refining measurable indicators for assessing candidates based on agreed criteria, and we will continue to refine them until our next meeting in early January. There are 2 things that the committee discussed and agreed on last night that will impact applicants or candidates. The first is that we will require 2 additional things from candidates. The first is confirmation of English proficiency, because this is the working language of the ETRT2, and we will figure out a way of confirming this. The second one is we require written responses to three key questions to support the assessment process, and I will briefly read through this, and this will be circulated widely in the relevant at-large list. The first question is, for the candidates, why do you believe that you are in a position to fairly assess ICANN's mechanisms for accountability, transparency, and public input? The second question is, why do you believe that you are in a position to assess ICANN's focus on the global public interest? And the third one is, why do you believe that you will be able to do the above from the perspective of the ALAC and the global ICANN at-large community? Now, the written responses should be submitted as part of the complete application package to the ATRT2 staff. To make sure that members of our community are aware, the request will be announced and circulated widely via relevant lists shortly, and we will also ask the ATRT2 staff if they can also post a request on the official call for volunteers on the website. Finally, we will be providing the ALAC with updates regarding the work of the subcommittee without revealing confidential aspects of our work. That is it from me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rinalia, for this very comprehensive report and excellent work that this ad hoc working group is doing. I'm not sure if there are any questions, but I think that your report was very explanatory, so I can see several people going, yes, well done, thank you. And I note that you are taking on this task at a time which is of the essence during the holiday period, so I have to thank all the members of the committee for having volunteered to be on this. I think that we can move on to our next agenda item very swiftly, in fact, the at-large statement of interest. Just a reminder for any of you that have not completed your SOI to go over to the wiki and to fill those SOIs. I think it's important. I remind all ALAC members that there was a resolution that was voted for all ALAC members to have an SOI, so it is important to have your SOI published and, of course, up to date. And finally, we have any other business, and there was one point which was raised by Garth at the beginning of the call. I was going to take that point and then also give the floor to Alan for a quick feedback on what's happened in the GNSO call. So is Garth still on?
Yeah, I'm back from my meeting.
Ah, okay, perfect. So, Garth, you have the floor.
Oh, I mean, I don't need the floor for too long. I got a call from someone who said that they were a registrar, and they tried to go over to the Sydney ICANN office because they were seeing some unethical business practices, as they said. And when they got to the office, they said the office was closed. And now the person is even more concerned than he was before. So we're just trying to determine if the office is in fact closed. And that's all at this point.
Okay, thank you very much, Garth. I live quite far away from Sydney, so I'm not quite sure I could help you on this one. Perhaps may I ask Heidi whether she has heard any details about the Sydney office?
This is Heidi. Thank you, Olivier. As I've noted in the chat, an announcement on the status of the Sydney office will be made shortly.
Okay. So that's the answer for you at the moment. We'll follow up on that and come back as soon as we know about this. Tijani, you put your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. As I said to you at the beginning of the meeting, I want to address the issue of the travel support for the ICANN meeting. And I want to make you know that starting from Toronto meeting, I begin to have problems with the travel support because in Toronto they asked me to leave the room at 10 o'clock on Friday, and we have meetings till noon on Friday.
and it was very difficult to make them accept that I leave the room later because I was in a meeting. Because they have to pay something if I leave the room after 10. They want us to leave on Friday, and Friday is working day for us. So, for Toronto, and in Toronto, I had the chance to have a flight at the night. That's how I managed to leave on Friday and to attend the meeting of the XCOM. For this meeting, for the next meeting in Beijing, they asked me to leave on Friday, and on Friday there is no flight late. So I said I want to leave on Saturday. They said you have to pay your night. You will not pay my night, and it is not normal. They said, okay, they tried to find a flight that will leave at midnight on Friday. I said, you will pay the night anyway if I leave at midnight. The hotel will be paid for this night. Why do you want me to fly in impossible hours and yet you will pay the same? At the end, they asked me to ask for an exception to leave on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Means that at 7, I have to be in the airport. That means that I will not enjoy the day. I am not asking for that. If I want to enjoy anything, I have to pay for it, and I know it. But it is not normal, it is not possible to leave on the same day if you are working on Friday. It is not normal. I have been financed by UNDP. I have been financed by my organization, by an international organization. And always you leave the day after the last working day. I don't understand why now, starting from Toronto, they start to tell us we have to leave on the same day. So, it is a big problem for me. This time they asked me to ask for an exception for the hotel, and they told me you will not have the per diem accordingly. You will have the per diem till Friday only. I don't mind. It's not my problem now. But my problem is that I look like someone who is begging, if you want. And I want them to understand. I told them by email, I am volunteer and I come there for a full week, far from my house, far from my office. I don't think that I have to pay for it. So I think that it is a general problem. It's not a Tijani problem. If Alak wants to do something for this point, for this issue, it's okay. If Alak don't want to do it, I will not come to the ICANN meetings if they want me to leave the same day, the same working day, so the last working day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Tijani. I see several hands up. I see also Jean-Jacques agreeing with you. This is not one of these things. It's not a Tijani problem. I see several people with the same problem. Alan, you've put your hand up?
Yeah, thank you. I support Tijani. I thought we had fixed the problem that if we're meeting in the morning, even if it's only in the morning, that the formal departure day be the next day. If anyone is going to be, is going to take a whole 3 or 4 hours and abuse the ICANN privilege and do some vacation, well, so be it. We're contributing an awful lot of time to the organization. But more important, if someone really has an opportunity to leave late in the day, they will anyway. So I really think this kind of penny pinching sends just the wrong message. If you're expecting us to work and a meeting that's scheduled to run till noon could well run till 2 o'clock or something like that, it happens all the time. I think this kind of I can't think of the word to use in a public forum, but this kind of behavior on staff is just inappropriate. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan. Here. Let's take this up after this call. We'll discuss this on the XCOM tomorrow, I'm sure. I see everyone absolutely agreeing. I must say I myself have made it known on several occasions that I think it's really taking the mickey for us to work like crazy, arrive a few hours before we start work and leave a few hours after we finished work, and yet also be billed for one more night if we're absolutely exhausted and can't even lift the luggage out of the hotel on the same day. Anyway, I think we've touched on that. Thank you, Tejani. We'll be touching on it tomorrow, and perhaps a statement or a letter to Steve will be the right way forward. And asking for exceptions is really something else, because I think that asking for an exception is effectively asking for the kind closing of eyes from the travel department on a case-by-case basis. I don't think that it is a privilege to get one more night when you finish at 12. I think that it should be a right, and it used to be normally dealt with, and nowadays, of course, travel has changed. Perhaps we should be unhappy about that. In fact, I know we are unhappy about it. We have made it known.
Olivier, just for the record, when board meetings ended on at noon hour on Friday, the GNSO, which was always allowed to stay for the board meeting, had a Saturday departure. That was standard operating practice.
It's a new season at ICANN where we pinch pennies for fun. Yeah, bye. Okay, Alan, you have the last word on this call to give us an update on what's been going on in the GNSO call today, please.
I will not take a very long time. It was a remarkable call in a bunch of ways. I have never, ever suggested that someone else go and listen to a GNSO call or read the transcript. I will be doing that this time. There's some specific parts that are worth listening to, and probably listening is better than reading the transcript because it gives you the tone. It was a remarkable call, not necessarily a good call in some areas, but some of the issues discussed will be coming back to the ALAC, either because of the policy substance, and as I noted in the case of the straw man proposal, I am going to make strongly recommending that we write a statement and do it quickly. And in terms of policy issues, in terms of administration issues, such as the concept of is it allowed to have a second vote on a same motion if it failed one time and people believe there's a reason for doing it. And I found it remarkable that people were saying on purely administrative and bureaucratic grounds we should never do that, even if it was for the good of the organization, that perhaps something has to be revisited. So I found it a rather remarkable meeting. It'll be showing up in a number of things that I'll be pushing out to the ALAC over the next couple of weeks. I've been very poor, as some of you know, in getting the GNSO reports up. It takes a very significant amount of time to go over the conference once the GNSO minutes are available to try to do that. This time I tried doing it live. It was somewhat of a challenge trying to type in what happened in a previous section while not losing the train of what was going on in the next section. I think I generally did it. I'm going to try to do it again. It was an interesting experience. And I don't have much more to say. As I said, you'll be seeing substance in a number of issues. But it was an interesting meeting, and I'll... When the transcript is available or the MP3, I will be suggesting to people you may want to spend a few hours and just listen to it. It was a different meeting in many ways than a typical GNSO meeting. So it won't give you an example of how the GNSO normally acts, but I think it will be an interesting meeting. Anyway, that's all I have to say. This group has been meeting even longer, almost as long as I have, so I'll stop at this point.
Thank you very much, Alan. And I note that the point that we passed over, which was the Trademark Clearinghouse Roman Solution Statement, currently being drafted, comment period extended to the 15th of January 2013. Is this the statement which you are recommending that we draft something on?
That is the statement.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
It will not purely be on the straw man itself, but on the issues surrounding it.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Any other business? And I see no one putting their hand up, so I have to thank all of you for having spent the last 2.5 hours on this call. Oh, Yaovi, yes, you wish to add something?
My connection is very slow. I just want to ask if you don't have my SOI, because I remember I failed it. So I just want you to confirm if it's not appearing.
Your SOI is appearing, Yaovi, on the screen, so thank you very much for it. We have it.
Okay, thank you.
Right, thank you. So I just have to thank all of you very much for having lasted the 2.5 hours. The time is 18:31 UTC. Just one last thing for me to wish you a happy holidays. And, we will be speaking to each other next year. So you've lasted another year. You've managed to survive. Next year is going to be a whole lot of work more. But in the meantime, do enjoy your holiday break for those of you who are able to take a break. And for those of you who are not able to take a break, well, that's tough. Thanks very much, and goodbye, everyone.
Thanks, Olivia. Bye, all.
It's good to have a thoughtful, caring chair.
There's compassion for you, isn't it? And you thought I was horrible. Wow. Talk to you all later. Greetings of the season to you all.
And
sharing
at
large. Sharing at large.
Holidays. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, I keep wondering, you all keep wishing people happy holidays. I don't understand what this is you're talking about. What is this thing, this holiday thing? I don't understand.
Summer holidays.
Exactly.
Summer holidays.
A happy end of the year from France, and have a very good start in 2013. Goodbye, all. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.